My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We welcome you into another Warriors Weekly podcast for 95.7 The Game. It's John Dickinson and Matt Steinmetz. And Steiny, let's dive right into it. Are the Warriors starting to figure some things out? They've won three in a row as we record this for just the third time all season. They're at their high watermark, two games over 500 going into games against Minnesota and Denver. 5 of 7 overall in the win column for the Warriors. So they're playing among the better stretches they've had at any point this season. Suddenly, what do you make of it?
We got to talk on Friday. That's what we have to do, because obviously they got an interesting back-to-back coming up tonight against Minnesota, and then they go to Denver. And to me, a lot of things are coming together right now. And I don't necessarily mean all good. I just mean, I think we're seeing the first signs of kind of push coming to shove. And what I mean by that is, you got a little something going here. Like you said, 3 in a row, 5 of 7. But these are the two games that have always set you back. These are the games that always set you back and bring you back to 500. What's going to happen Thursday in Denver? Now, I know Steph Curry kind of addressed it. Sounds like he wants to play. And what I'm getting at, of course, is the load management, where so many guys don't play on back-to-backs. That hurts their momentum. Like, whenever we talk about momentum, you have to factor in that they may lose a back-to-back and not even care about it. So, can they win both games? Maybe that's a stretch, but they got to win one of these games to me and look good doing it. And then I think you kind of take the next step and start looking at the standings and saying, you know what, we finish 25 and 16 or whatever it is, we're probably going to have a top 4 or 5 seed.
Well, a couple of things on that note, and I thought it was fascinating to see the way Steve Kerr managed the Oklahoma City game, because he managed that game like they wanted to get it. And they've even said openly over the last couple of days that they really, the first two games of the trip are the key. And I think they're tipping their hand as to what they're going to do as far as the Denver game. I think they already went into this three-game road trip knowing, and Steph always tries to save face and let everybody know that it's not his decision. And that's right. Fair. I think that's fine. But I think they went into this three-game trip looking at it almost like it was a two-game trip, and that they need to win the Oklahoma City and Minnesota games because they're going to probably punt on the Denver game. And the Warriors finally won one of those games in Cleveland. So, you can't expect it by any means, but it seems like, and Steve Kerr has coached like, they have an understanding that they think Oklahoma City was beatable, and they beat them, and Minnesota's beatable. They already blew them out in Minnesota earlier in the year. Now, the Timberwolves have played better lately, although they just split with Sacramento. And so I think they're kind of going all in right now. And the way Steve Kerr has managed the rotation, basically playing 8-9 players, tells you that.
Yeah, and then we get back to a question that we're probably going to be asking all season, and that is – You know, will they pay a price for playing this hard this early in the season? And do they have it in them that they can put together two solid months of really good basketball, playoff basketball that turns into championship basketball? You know, and let me just throw this at you. I'm not sure this year let's put aside whether they're going to win it or not. I'm not sure they're going to have a great stretch this year. I'm just not convinced of it. And so when they get to the postseason, the question's going to be, do they have four good series in them, really, in a row for 2 months when they haven't done it all year? Last year, they did have almost half a season, 31 and – like I know they were 18 and 2, but they were what, 31 and
– They were 30 and 9 at
exactly,
one
point. Exactly. Yeah. So they played half a year last year where they were essentially the best team in the league.
And it was actually even 41 and 13 was the latest point. So that's
right.
41 and 13 is outstanding.
And to me, that's the difference. They had 41 and 13 in their back pocket, and I think they all knew it. This year, they're not going to have a 41 and 13. They might not even have a 15 of 21. You know what I'm kind of getting at. So then it gets back to their championship pedigree. Many people are going to say they'll turn it on. I tend to be more skeptical just because that's my nature, and I would have liked to have seen it once during the regular season first. But this is going to be one of those where I'm not going to believe they can put together four series and two good months until I see it.
Well, and for me, that's where I sort of break off from you in the sense that I need to see them. It depends on where their seeding is. Like, they don't have to win as many games this year to be the three seed, but they have every opportunity to be the three seed. So if it only takes 45 wins to be the three seed or 46, which it may only take that many, frankly, then if they can do that, I'm more open-minded because the rest of the Western Conference is so mediocre that they would be able to get on that run against some of these other teams. But the reality is they're still at some point going to have to face Memphis, who it looks right now like they have their number. I want to see them actually play a couple of games in Memphis. They do play two games in Memphis here in the back half of the schedule in March. So we'll see how that all shakes out. But I think if they can win enough to where they are the three or the four seed, even though they won't have as many wins or as hot of a stretch, I think that would be enough for me to say if they continue to do it with this group, this eight, or because that's the other part of it. And I think that's kind of where I want to take the conversation is, you know, we're starting to see here over the last week and a half or so, the rotation is taking shape, I think, Steiny, and we're that Steve Kerr change went small. Jordan Poole's in the starting lineup again. Kevon Looney's not. The spacing and the ball movement, the assist numbers are up. I think they're baiting teams into playing more of a keep up with us offensively type of game, which I think for the regular season takes pressure off of their defense to where they don't have to be as good defensively the whole game. And it also baits the opponent into like taking some bad shots and doing some things out of character that get you beat against the Warriors over a 48 minute game. And so I think that's working, but I also had the thought going back to really after the Toronto game, the Warriors kind of know who their top eight now is with, let's say, Looney off the bench because Poole's in the starting lineup, DiVincenzo, and now Jonathan Kuminga, who continues to come on as that eighth. Even Jamichael Green's played all right. He didn't play the other night, but three games back from his latest injury and played okay. I guess, do the Warriors, are we starting to wonder, figure that maybe they have enough for a playoff rotation?
Well, that's enough for, I think, a playoff rotation.
Is it good enough? Is it good enough, though?
I don't know. I mean, that's a great question. And before we get to the postseason, you know, I'm looking at the standings. And, see, I think some things are starting to happen here. And this is kind of what I mean. I mean, you look at the standings. Oh, they're fifth. Look at this. But I see the Clippers beginning to emerge. And I think the Suns are going to start winning now that they got everybody healthy.
Agree.
So this is where the Warriors, it's not going to be good enough to kind of stay in this mix. Otherwise, they're going to drop to six. I think it starts right now. You know, you got to go 1-1 in these next two games, not 0-2. And then I haven't even looked at the schedule after that, but you get the sense of what I'm – they got to stop playing 500 ball and got to start playing more 600 ball, taking more 2 out of 3s. Otherwise, they are going to start the playoffs, you know, as a 5 or 6. And I just think it's going to be much, much harder, obviously.
Well, and there's a lot of games here before the All-Star break, still a couple of weeks to go before the All-Star break. They come home, they play Dallas, and then the Thunder. They go to Portland. They come home and play the Lakers and the Wizards, and then they go and play the Clippers to end the pre-All-Star break portion of the schedule. So there's some winnable games in there. There's some tougher games in there as well, considering how they've played. And you look at the back-to-back component, the only back-to-backs are the Minnesota-Denver back-to-back and then the Wizards-Clippers back-to-back, with the Clippers being the final game before the break. So I think they would push through it being the final game before the break, and maybe only Klay Thompson winds up not playing in that one. Although we've seen the Warriors in the past give everybody the night off on the road the night before the break. They did that in Phoenix a couple of years ago and got thumped in doing it. But there is an opportunity here if they can maintain the health that they've had here of late, I think, to make a little bit of a push. I think 10-4, to go back to what you were meant, 10-4 is their best stretch at any point. It was a 14-game stretch at 10-4, so they're halfway to that. Can they duplicate that over the next, I think it's 8 games before the break? Can they basically go 5-3 over the next 8, and that would duplicate, give or take, one of the 10-4 they had earlier in the year?
You know, it's interesting. I want to go back to, like, you know, the small lineup and the one thing to me that it's done, and you're kind of right. You know, the one thing I've noticed I think he had one real bad shooting night, Klay, the 0-for-7 from 3, but he's been making shots. Like, he's been making shots during the last, I'm just going to use the number 10. And because they moved Poole into the starting lineup, it has gone, you know, there is more spacing. There's just more free flow. It almost is like the games are just a little less intense. And I think the Warriors are doing that on purpose. I just wonder if there could be a false sense of security there, because it does feel like, you know, some of their wins are just, usually there were a lot of aspects to a Warrior win. Like, you had to acknowledge, you know what, they shut that other team down for 4 minutes. And, you know, it always seems to boil down to just shooting for the Warriors now. Like, it's harder for them to overcome a not-so-good shooting night because, you know, they're not as dynamic in other areas, particularly on the defensive end.
It feels more like they play the same game every night now, regardless of opponent. Like, if they're playing a good team, they play up and they play hard.
Right.
And it ends up being a close game down the stretch. If they're playing a lesser opponent, maybe they play a little more sloppily, or the other team's got more energy or intensity to the game, and they wind up in a close one down the stretch, and they have they have to try and win it. It's funny. We were going back and forth during the Oklahoma City game, and I think the Warriors were up – I think it was when they were up 21 – and you said, the Thunder, they got to make a run. And I said, and this is such a difference from the past. I mean, I would have said, they might make a little run, but the Warriors will still thump them and, you know, beat them by double digits. But, I mean, we agreed, like, Thunder are going to make a run, and it's probably going to get close or tied, or maybe even OKC takes the lead, and the Warriors are going to have to win the game again. And OKC didn't get the lead, but they got it down to, 2 with a couple minutes to go.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, and they had two. I remember the two with possession, you know, and why, I mean, not why they win that game, but once the Warriors get to that point, here comes Oklahoma City. Poole makes a three. Clay makes a three.
Off of okay. Two defensive play, the exactly. Looney and Draymond blocks.
Exactly.
Vintage then, Warriors into threes. Two 5-point swings, basically.
Exactly. So that's ball game right there. You know, they used to be able to do that for longer stretches. Maybe they only did it because that's all they had to do against Oklahoma City. But, you know, that's the one thing that I think can't be factored into their championship defense of years past to this team. And this team is not even close to any of their championship teams on the defensive end. And not only that, JD, like, I get it. The Warriors weren't playing championship defense for 82 games during their championship seasons. But I think this is the worst defense they've played probably in the championship type seasons. They can only summon it for short stretches, it feels like.
Well, and I wonder if they can summon it for longer stretches in the playoffs with off days and with the repeated, you know, matchup. Where right. You get more familiar with your opponent. I do think that favors the Warriors as far as just kind of knowing what you're going to see on a night in, night out basis and honing in on your game plan and trying to take certain things away. And I mean, it still boils down to, is there going to be enough in the tank
right.
for four series wins? But I think the layout of the playoffs favors the Warriors in a big time way.
Big time way. See, I wonder if now we're reaching the point where, and you know this better than me, when do you start the in any given series, game off? And what's the most amount of games you can play? Four yeah. in seven?
They basically put the seven game series in about a 14 or a 15 day span.
Okay.
But it's always more separated at the beginning. So
right.
basically game four. So the Warriors, and this is where they've gamed the system, is they end a lot of series in five before it
true.
Really gets to the other
That's
every
true.
Other day. Typically
yeah.
They're more spread out in the first three to four games, and it's typically every other day on the last three to four games.
Now that might not help them.
Not if you're going six and seven,
right.
it doesn't.
That's true. That's
early,
true.
Early.
Yeah.
Which is why you want to get the home court advantage or you want to get a favorable matchup in the first round. And that's the one thing that I do when you look at some of the – and it is separating, I think – Phoenix is coming up. Like you said, the Clippers are coming up. But I think if you get a favorable first round matchup. I'll use the one I think we used last week. Like if the Warriors were six and Sacramento somehow held on to the three, like you got no travel, basically.
Right.
Yeah, you wouldn't have home court advantage. But I mean, is anybody, if the Warriors are playing the Kings, not picking the Warriors to win that series in five, even without home court advantage? I mean, and so there still is a pathway there, I think, to a quicker round. Now, if you wind up three or four, you play the Clippers or you play Phoenix 4-5 or something like that, then I think it's a much different story. But we're not going to know because it's so jumbled up about that for probably 2 months.
Let me ask you this, and you're the only guy I put on the spot like this. Off the top of your head, do you remember the year where the Warriors played their most playoff games? You know, 28's the most you can play if you play 4 7-game series. It's got the most it had to have played,
16,
I would think,
right?
It's 20. Yeah, well, that would have been
24.
The – well, because – or the – the year they won in a 7-game series in the Western Conference, then lost in a 7-game series to the Cavs. That was probably it, right?
That was the year, 15-9.
Okay. Because
I never forget it. Because
24.
They were 73-9. They had 9 losses in 82 games. And then they had 9 losses in 24 games and couldn't quite get to 16, which obviously you need to win the title. So they lost as many in 24 as they did in 82.
So, I mean, we don't have to keep – obviously, it's not for now, but, you know, that is something to kind of keep in mind.
They played
sure.
22, I think, last year, right? I want to say it was – I might be off on
Memphis
that.
Memphis and six – no, Denver and five.
There were two sixes and – there were two sixes and two fives.
Okay,
so,
22.
22, right. Yeah, last year. So,
gotcha.
You know, give or take, but – but the Warriors, but sometimes that's the difference.
I mean,
I still maintain, going back to last year, that if they had to play Phoenix in a conference finals, even if it only goes one more game than the Dallas series did, it would have been so much more taxing of us because the games themselves would have been more competitive. The Warriors were never really other than one of the first three games. They were in control, really. And you know, Dallas had them in one of those games. And then game four, call off the dogs. I mean, you're up 3-0. It doesn't. I mean, that game's inconsequential at that point.
Oh, it was like, Dallas last year was once they gave up their opportunity in game one. It was like when Cleveland gave up their opportunity in game one with J.R. Smith.
And it was really the same thing with Denver in the first round. Like nobody, Denver, I remember because it was Denver and they were so shorthanded. They were trying to put a real positive spin on, hey, we've kept all these games close. And it's like, well, yeah, but did you really like you weren't going to win the series,
right?
Like it just, and they didn't win a game in the series until the Warriors had the series in hand,
right?
Up 3-0, like Dallas, and then the Warriors came back. And both series they did in the fifth game, and this happened in the closeout game against Memphis back at Chase too. All of those closeout games were a lot harder than I think anybody would have anticipated, but they still were able to close them out and get the 6 to 8 days off, as opposed to you get into a game six in a series, it's because that's the other part of this is it's if you get into a game six in a series, a lot of times what that means is you're playing on a Thursday or a Friday night, and then you're turning around and starting the next series 2 days later on a Saturday or a Sunday. And that to me is where, you know, maybe you get got in the first game of a series where we know the Warriors have been so good in the first game of series in the past because you're tired or whatever. I mean, look at last year.
Right.
Memphis had to do that. They played the game six against who'd they play? Minnesota, and had to come from all. And then the Warriors go in there and had 5-6 days off. They go into Memphis and they win the first game. Like Memphis, even though they were at home, had a schedule disadvantage in the first game, and that was enough for the Warriors to be able to eke it out. I want to you mentioned Klay Thompson.
Okay.
Because I wanted to hit you with Klay and the numbers, because it's February 1st as we record this, the numbers for Klay in January, just overall, I'm going to give you some numbers. This was Klay total January games, 27 points per game. Okay. He shot 46% from the field, 43% from three, 43.1 from three. He basically averaged a 5 of 11 game from three over the course of January. And, you know, I'm looking at, he had a 10 make. He had five games of six or more three-pointers made with a 10 make game, obviously, against Atlanta, the first game of the month. I mean, that's the best extended stretch I think he's had since his return going back to last year.
At least as far as shooting the ball. And that is the most important thing that he does. Let me just throw this at you, because was his last game of January good or bad? In other words, did you pick the perfect day? I'm not trying to denigrate anything, but you know what I mean? Like, did you pick the best?
I just looked at January overall. It was just, we're at February 1st. Okay. So January just ended, and I just went.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant like the last game in December is what I meant. But don't worry about it.
No, in fairness, because I have it right here. I know what you're saying. No, in fairness, he had 31 and was 11 to 22 and made seven threes in his last game in December. So we could add the last couple games of December, actually.
Okay. Let's do that then and say he's played five good weeks.
Yeah.
Something like that. And you know what? I think you're probably right. But the nature of where he's at in his career, what are the next five going to look like? Now, I'm not dismissing 5 weeks, but in the grand scheme of things, you know, 5 weeks is not a very long time, you know, and that's the thing. For them to win it, like, would you agree with this? For them to win a title, he's kind of got to play like this the rest of the way.
Yeah, at least play that way in the playoffs.
Sure, sure.
And I
think and the question is, can he? And I wonder, because you know, he's going to be facing really good defenses game after game after game. Not that he hasn't raised his level of play multiple times in his career. But yeah, I'm not going to turn a positive into a negative. This is a great five-week stretch for him, and you know, now keep it going till the All-Star game is what I would say.
The one thing I wanted to say too, and I need to dig into this, and I haven't really had the time, I think, because of the Niners run and everything going on in the back and forth, but it is the rest component to this, because I'm just looking off the top of my head at the layout for him in January, right? And so he had the 54-point game in January on January 2nd, played the next game 2 days later. Then he had a six-day break. Okay, so he didn't play from the 4th to the 10th. Then he had 2 days in between the next game. He had 4 days in between the 15th and the 19th. He had 2 days in between the 19th and the 22nd. He had two more days between the 22nd and the 25th. And then there were 2 days in between the last two games that he played. So there were more, in addition to the games they gave him off. And this was something like, I'm going to sit down and do this at some point now that I got a little more time. I'm going to look at the 1 day of rest for Clay versus two versus maybe three or more.
Yeah, I think that's
and kind of get into the numbers on that, because that's just something that the eye test has noticed, that when it's been more than 1 day, and even it seems like he's been a lot better when it's been more than just 1 day. So
it does feel like that. Yeah, you're right.
So I got to look into the numbers a little bit, and we'll figure it out. Final thought, just because I saw this report pop up, so we'll end it on this note. The Philadelphia Inquirer had a report that the Warriors are interested in Matisse Thybulle.
I'm sure they are.
Well, he doesn't play, basically, for Philadelphia. Yeah, you're right. I mean, there was a report the day before that Sacramento was interested. And I'm sure a lot of teams in the playoffs would be interested. But, I mean, I just wanted to get, you know, your thoughts on just kind of, you know, the Warriors. I think if you could get a guy like that for not much – I mean, you'd love to get a guy like that to be. I mean, he could be your Gary Payton II type defender. He's an excellent defender. Can't really make a shot.
No doubt.
But an excellent defender.
No doubt.
And young.
I got to be honest. If I'm one of the top six teams, I'm not dealing with one of the other top six teams. I'm just not. Like, if I the idea that Jay Crowder could end up in Milwaukee, You know, I'm sorry. I'm not doing that if I'm Phoenix.
Right.
You know, the idea, who else do we have? You know, Jay Crowder, I don't think will come to the Warriors. You got to be kidding me. Why would Phoenix do that? So I actually do. There was another guy, too, from Milwaukee. Could the Warriors
Grayson
get?
Allen?
And I was like, somebody like that. And I thought, well, oh, no. I'll tell you who it was. And this guy's not even that great. Peyton Pritchard from Boston. And I'm like, forget him as a player, but he either stinks so bad that Boston doesn't care and they know he'll never come back to beat him, or they think that could happen and then they'll never trade him in the first place.
Well, I'm with
unless
you,
it's an unbelievable deal.
And Ollie, and look, what you get back is obviously important to Philly and all of that. But I'll use the Sacramento example. I use this example with Crowder, and it's based, and I think it applies with Tybull and Philly. I could see Philly being more willing to trade a guy like Tybull to Sacramento, knowing, or at least believing, hey, that's going to help Sacramento get into the playoffs, but they're still not going to be a team that's going to play in the finals.
Whereas, that's what I'm thinking.
Whereas, and Milwaukee, the same thing, or Phoenix, the same thing with Crowder. Like, we may, you know, they're not going to win a title and beat us along the way because of that. So maybe we would do that deal. So just something to keep an eye on. It. The Warriors are going to be active. Good stuff, Steiny. We'll talk again.
I'm it.
Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
All right, for Steiny, I'm JD, 95.7 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.